Kids can be dismissed to their class. Let our praises fill this temple. All right, yes, let our praises fill this temple. Amen. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we do thank you. We thank you for your word this morning. I pray that our hearts will be open. In fact, we say, Father, we're just wide open. Here we are, Lord. Here we are. We're wide open for your word this morning, and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. All right, we're continuing on with saying yes to the miraculous. And mostly what we have looked at with regard to the miraculous has been the healings that Jesus did. And so I hope that we've had our faith increased. I hope that you're laying hands on people and watching healing come, whether it comes slowly or quickly, on your family, people that say, oh, I've got this happening in my life. Let's allow the faith that we've been given, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So if we're open to what God is saying, then faith will come and it will grow in us. So healings were not the only miracles that Jesus did. We know that, but we know that he turned water into wine, cast out demons. There was a miraculous catch of fish, actually twice in the scripture. He calmed a storm. He feeds 5,000 people, walks on water, feeds 4,000 plus people, finds a coin in a fish's mouth, and withers a fig tree. So all of those things are just some of the miracles that Jesus did. Then when we get into the book of Acts and the letters that were written, Paul's letters, etc., we realize that there are a lot more miracles that happen, not only through Jesus, but also through his disciples. And so all of that shows the kingdom of God has come among us. And the kingdom of God is here, it is within us, and so these are things that we should be doing and practicing in our life. So, said last week that the Bible wasn't just something that was written to make us interested or give us an accurate account even of what Jesus did. It is that, but, and we praise the Lord for that, but more than that, his word, according to 2 Timothy 3:16, says it's for instruction, for counsel, for admonition, all of those things. That's what the word of God says. That's on the next slide. So what we need to do is say, God, what is the spiritual truth that you're trying to tell us as we look at some of the miracles that have happened? How does that affect my own life? Because whenever we hear a message, that's what we have to say. How is this impacting my life? What am I going to get for it? Otherwise, don't come. Right? Like, we don't just come just because we're interested or there was a great speaker. We come to say, God, how's your word going to impact my life? How's what I'm going to sing about, what I'm going to hear this morning? How's it going to change me? How's it going to change the people around me? Otherwise, ladies and gentlemen, there really is no point. If it's just going to be some nice theological sermon, if it's just going to be some nice words from the scripture, if it's just going to be some rah-rah motivational sermon, you know, then in my opinion, what's the point? Why are we here? We might as well have slept in, which maybe some of you did. So along with a lot of the healing miracles that Jesus did, he did the miraculous when it came to the demonic as well. And I want to talk about that this morning, because we can't brush aside those miracles. We can't just ignore them. Demon possession and the realm of the demonic is not just something Hollywood invented to keep people amused. Demon possession was and is very, very real. I think you've been around me long enough to know that I've encountered a few in my life. In fact, when the grandchildren were here, you know, I have grandkids in Manitoba, and I only get to see them maybe once or twice a year. And so one time we were talking about an encounter that I'd had and how this thing manifest and stuff like that. And they were just so fascinated and so interested. And of course, the grandchildren that are here hear these stories on a regular basis. And so it doesn't faze them. They're familiar with it because we talk about casting out demons and taking authority over the devil a lot. And so they weren't too excited about it because they'd heard it before. But the kids from Manitoba were like, you know, the next time they saw us, actually, that night I got a call from Jeff and said, "So what have you been telling the boys?" And I'm like, "Why?" And he said, "Because, like, they had nightmares. They wouldn't go to sleep, you know, because they were so afraid." And I think the next day I talked with them about it and et cetera, et cetera. But I did kind of get in trouble for that. But we need to realize that these things are real. Right? Do you believe that? It's not just for old times. I think in some regards they are more real than they ever were before because evil has so increased. And we can't just say, well, it's just the influence of evil, because the influence doesn't have a name. And Jesus named these things. So it's pretty normal. It should be normal Christianity to run across these things, to identify, know what they are, and where God has given us authority in those places, then we need to take that authority and get rid of them. And so my purpose today is to remind us afresh that in this area, just like the area of healing and salvation and other miracles, Jesus had power over sickness, he had power over disease, and he has power over the demonic. And so it's not my purpose this morning to delve into all of that. I just want to take us through Scripture as one of the miracles that Jesus did. I've taught many, many times on where it comes from, how it happens. Can a Christian be possessed? Can a Christian have a demon? I've taught many, many times on things like that, but that is not my purpose this morning. My purpose this morning is to take us through some of these miracles, a few of these miracles that Jesus did in the area of the demonic, and to recognize that you and I, as born-again believers in Jesus Christ, have authority over these things. It should not be something that we are freaked out about or we're scared about or anything like that. He's given as believers in Christ, and that's the first condition. Don't try to do it. Come against these things if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ. And so because Mark 16:17, the third slide, let's read it together. That's not the slide. Sorry. It says, Mark 16:17, what's it say? And these signs... Okay, so how many have been here all five times that I've preached on miracles? Can I see your hand? Five times, twice on a Sunday. We have got to know this verse. Guys, I'm serious. You cannot fool around about this. You have got to know that these signs follow those that believe. If you don't know that, these signs won't follow you. When you're in a hard place, when you're in a place where you're needing to pray for somebody, where you're needing to hold the door against somebody that's going to block in, you've got to know, if you don't know the verse off by heart, you've got to know in your spirit that these signs follow those that believe. We've got to know this. We've got to get this. What's the first thing we'll do? We'll cast out demons. Yay! Okay, so maybe my background lends me a little bit more that I get really excited about this, because it's just like, bring it, you know, come on, because we have authority, and because of what we've been through and where we've traveled and what we've seen, even in this prayer room right here, it's been awesome and amazing to see these things fall and crumble, weep and cry. In the name of Jesus. These signs follow those that believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Ask for it. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So turn to Mark chapter 5. We're going to start there. Verses 1 to 11. I'm just, while you're looking that up and going there, I'm going to read it to you. They went across the lake to the region of the Gadarenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an unclean spirit came from the tombs to meet him. Matthew calls it a demon-possessed man. In fact, in Matthew there are two. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart, broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Mark 5, verse 6. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell at his feet in front of him. And he shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." And then Jesus asked, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send him out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on a nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." And he gave them permission. And the impure spirits came out, went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. So we read the same account in Matthew 8 and in Luke chapter 8. And so we'll, as we go through, we're going to interchange them a little bit, because there's a little bit from each account because of who the Matthew, Mark, and Luke who wrote. They put their own personality in it. They saw specific things and they wrote some of those specific things. And so just like in other portions of the scripture, we see that evil spirits have the ability to supernaturally energize those in whom they dwell. When they do, the demonized individual often shows great physical strength. I could tell you stories. I don't know whether I should or not. But I'll tell you one. When Pastor Ace was visiting, this was like eons ago, a man in a church. I think we were still in the Baptist church at that time, and he went and visited this man, call him Bob, and Bob opened the door to Ace. Do you remember this? Opened the door, and there was written on blood on his walls. I think I've been shut off. Oh, am I doing this? Hello. And when, I'm going to keep going anyway, so devil. And so when he opened the door, he saw blood written on the walls and all kinds of profanity. When Bob opened the door and Ace stepped in, Bob flew back against the wall. This is not a movie. This is what happened. Bob flew back against the wall. Pastor Ace went in before. We weren't pastors at this time. And he went in and just took authority, prayed over him, and took authority over these demons. And he was totally, absolutely set free. So we have... our prayer room, many, many demons have been cast out. And so we see that evil spirits have the supernatural, sometimes they have a supernatural strength, not always, but sometimes. I'll tell you, if any of you are taking authority and you have the awesome opportunity to cast a demon out of somebody, keep your eyes open. You don't need to shut your eyes when you pray when you're doing this type of ministry. In fact, you don't have to anyway. It's just something we do as a culture. And so oftentimes the demonized individual will show great physical strength that can't be explained. And this story is a good example of that. Oftentimes evil spirits create harmful and self-injurious behavior. We know that sort of going around today, if you want, maybe as part of our culture, part of what we accept are people that cut themselves. And that is not normal behavior. That is a self-injuring behavior that can, I'm not saying it always does, but it certainly can come from someone who is demonized. And so here we have the demoniac of Gadara, who was supernaturally strong. Scripture says that no one could bind him, even with chains or fetters. And so they would tie chains around his feet and around his hands, and he always broke those chains because he was so empowered by the demons that lived inside him. He could tear the empty chains, and no one could tame him. No one could bring him under control except the name that you sang over and over today. What is that name? It's the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. And so the demon that possessed this man and who lived among the tombs was violent beyond human ability to control. The Greek word actually means to portray someone who is mad or insane. Some who were possessed with evil spirits were often called lunatics, but often physical infirmities or illnesses were attached to that. And we see in Scripture, we see in Matthew 4 that it says, they brought him to Jesus, all sick people that were taken with different diseases and torments, and those who were possessed with devils, and those who were lunatic, and those that has palsy, and he healed them. And then in Matthew 17, when he returned to the crowd again, a man came and knelt in front of Jesus. Lord, have pity on my son, he said, for he's a lunatic and in a terrible state. He's always falling into the fire or into the water. I did bring him to your disciples, but they couldn't cure him. Verse 18 says, and Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and that child was cured that very hour. So here we have something that in our modern day looks like epilepsy. But it wasn't just an illness of epilepsy, which it can be, but it was also inspired by demons. And so Jesus did not pray healing over this epileptic boy. He took authority and cast out demons. And so Scripture tells us that oftentimes, not all the time, hear me now, but oftentimes when there's a physical illness, oftentimes when it won't budge, when we've prayed, we've fasted, we've done what the Lord tells us to do, if there's still that physical illness, then we need to go to the next step and say, is this a demon, and are there demonic forces that need to be dealt with, rather than just, Lord, I plead your blood and I pray your healing over these things. And so discernment is always needed. And so the evil spirit, the Bible says, would hurl this boy into the fire and into water. And so we see that it was ferocious, savage, and very dangerous, this demon that possessed this boy. And it wasn't just a sickness, it was a demon. So some sicknesses are caused by demons. Back to Mark chapter 5. This demon had the man continually wandering in the mountains and among the tombs, crying out, cutting himself with stones. He continually wandered around a very isolated region. He cried out in pain and in agony and while cutting himself with sharp stones, the Scripture says. And all of this was the result of evil spirits that indwelt him. So although no one could control this demon-possessed man, Jesus could, because Jesus is the Son of God. He's not just a good man. He's the Son of God. He's the promised Messiah. This name that we sing about, that we've been given, this authority that we've been given, does not come from an earthly kingdom. It comes from a heavenly kingdom. Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. And it's not just a nice little song that we sing. I'm sure that some of you have applied the name of Jesus to situations and circumstances in your life. Sometimes you just, that's all you need is to just say, Jesus, and things flip around and things happen in the natural realm as well as in the spirit realm. I remember one time that I was driving our brand new van, and I had specifically prayed that I would not be the first one to give our brand new van a dent. And so I was driving along, and I was pulling into a parking spot, backing into it, and it was total ice, and I started to slide and slide and slide. And I just said, Jesus! And immediately it was like an angelic presence came and stood and just instantly stopped my vehicle. And that's happened a number of times. And I didn't have time to pray a long prayer. I didn't have time to recite scriptures. I just said the name of Jesus. Guys, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's power, wonder working power in the name of Jesus. And we see the disciples in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, etc., calling on the name of Jesus, and we see what happens. And so although nobody else could tame this man, Jesus could, because he's not just a good man. He's not just a prophet. If he was, he's a liar, because he claimed to be the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. I'm going to say it until more than three people say amen. He is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. And we have been given that name, and we have been given that kingdom to live inside us. If you got problems, say the name of Jesus. Just say his name. Just call on his name. Just say his name and watch what he will do. And so the demons-possessed man runs up to him, falls down at his feet, which to me is quite incredible, because we as human beings can often be in the presence of the Lord and we don't recognize it and we don't fall down at his feet. We just keep doing what we've been doing. But here the demonic force actually falls down, worships him, one of those scriptures say, and then says to Jesus, before Jesus really in Matthew can say anything to him, the demons speak. And say, what business do we have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Okay, so here we've got belief and faith. They've got belief. They believe the name of Jesus. They've got some head knowledge about it. They know the name of Jesus. He was in heaven when they were. And they know the name of Jesus. They fall down before him and say, what have we got to do with you, Jesus? What's your business with us, Son of the Most High God? They acknowledge that. Remember, James chapter 2 says the demons also believe and tremble. And tremble. And so he's not their savior. He's not their leader. But they do recognize that he is their judge. And Matthew 8:29, about the same story, says, have you come to torment us before our time? So isn't it interesting that these demons seem to know about the second coming of the Lord Jesus? Something that even the disciples seem to stumble over. When is this going to happen? What is this? What, you know, they didn't have understanding of that, but these demons did. And so they say, like, wait a minute. You're not supposed to torment us before our time. We're not supposed to be thrown into that abyss with Satan and experience eternal torment. It's not time yet, Jesus. This is your first coming. This isn't your second coming. So, Jesus, have you come to torment us before the time? That's what they meant when they said that. And so it seems like they know a lot, they say a lot, but they don't follow Christ. The demons also believe and tremble. James says, you do well to believe that there is one God, but demons also believe and tremble. And so my prayer for us is that it's more than just information. That coming to church where we acknowledge Christ, we sing, we worship in different ways. I pray that it's more than just something on our schedule to do. That it's Monday morning, so I go to work, or Monday evening or afternoon, I go to work. Well, Sunday, so I go to church. I pray that there's a great expectancy within us as we come together as believers in Jesus Christ. One can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Imagine the multiplication. Jody could do that for us. Imagine the multiplication that would go on here today if we stood and began to believe to the next level. I know we believe. I know that, but if we go to the next level of belief and begin taking authority over some things that have bothered us. And so here we go once again. We see the Son of God sovereign. He was sovereign over disease. We see in other scriptures he was sovereign over nature. He calmed the storm. And now we see that he is sovereign over evil and over demons. So he comes to a region where there are Gentiles in this region, and that's why there are herds of pigs, because the Gentiles, they had pigs. And so they were, to the Jews, as we know, pigs were an unclean animal. They couldn't touch them. They definitely could not eat them or they would become unclean as well. And so verse 2 says, immediately when Jesus got out of the boat. And so even before he begins to speak, they begin to speak to him, wanting Jesus, let's cut a deal, let's change your plan. We know that there's time for torment, but this isn't it. I know that you have the power of judgment, but this can't be the time. And so it seemed like the demons were concerned with timing. They don't deny that he has the power to judge them and cast them into hell. They just say it's not supposed to happen yet. And so in Matthew, he speaks one word. He just simply says, go. Go. In this scripture, it says, come out of him. And he commanded him to come out of the unclean, the spirit, the unclean spirit to come out. And so the only conversation Jesus had with this demon-possessed man, speaking to the demons, he said, what is your name? And they said, our name is Legion, for there are many of us. So this man was so demonized, he didn't just have one demonic spirit. He had a legion of demonic spirits within him. Imagine, if you can, the torment that he must have been going through. And so the herdsmen, after the man is cleansed and the demons are rebuked and cast out, cast into that herd of pigs, the herdsmen run away. They tell the rest of the town what's happened to the demon-possessed man and what has happened to their herd of pigs, because Jesus just destroyed their livelihood by these pigs running over the cliff. And you can do what you want with that. But the response of the town is very, very important. It shows what's the most important thing to them. Matthew or Mark and Luke say that when they went out to see what happened, they came to Jesus. Now imagine this, okay? This man lives in tombs. You know, you all know what a tomb is. It's like this cave that they had. That's how they used to bury people, in these tombs. And so that's where this demon possessed, who had a legion of demons within him, lived. People wouldn't go near that tomb. They would go way around it because he was violent. He was angry. And they would go way around it. They would, people had, maybe while he was sleeping, or maybe if there was many of them, they would tie him up and try to put chains around him, but he was so strong that he broke these chains. And all of this is what these people saw on a regular basis. This wasn't just someone who came to church, and yes, we can read in another place where there was a demon-possessed man in the synagogue, in the church. And so let's not be fooled into thinking that, you know, all is well if we just come to church. And so this is what this whole town had seen. It would be on a very lesser scale. It would be like you and I coming to church and having one person in our church service that would come every Sunday, violent, angry, screaming, get your kids away from him, et cetera, et cetera. And so people tried to do something about it. They tried to tie him up. They bound him with chains, but he was so strong, he broke those chains. And this is what the townspeople saw every day of their life. So now, the herdsmen go and tell the whole town, you will never believe what's happened. There's this demon-possessed man, and now he's got clothes on now, and he seems to be in his right mind. And then they go into their spiel about how their whole livelihood and their pigs had been run over this abyss, and et cetera, et cetera. And so the townspeople, God bless them, are curious. They would like to see this. And so they come into town. Mark says, and Luke say, they went out to see what happened, and they came to Jesus. Now, you have a picture of all that I just told you. And they see this demon-possessed man clothed. They've never seen him in clothes before. He was naked all the time because he'd rip his clothes off. They saw him clothed and in his right mind, and sitting at the feet of Jesus. They'd never seen that before. They'd never seen this man clothed with clothes on. They'd never seen him in his right mind. He was always vicious and violent. And here there was this peace. There was this calmness, so calm that he was now sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's miraculous. You guys look so bored. I'm sorry that this is boring to you. But it's awesome what Jesus has done. One day, just one day, why don't you, drive downtown and have a look around us. Why don't you visit somebody in the psych ward? Have a look around. I'm not saying that all of that is demon possession, but certainly some of it is. Absolutely. And God wants to raise up a people of believers that come across people like that and don't say, just let me take, I'm getting in real trouble here, but I'm going to say it anyway. And don't just say, let me take you to the hospital, let me do this, but pronounce the name of Jesus, that recognize these demonic spirits. We're so medicated. We give people so much medication. And yay, thank you, Jesus, for that. But sometimes there's a greater need. Sometimes there is. Luke says, those who had seen the herdsmen told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. You got that, did you? Demon-possessed was healed. Can you hear their story? Can you hear what the herdsmen have said, fumbling over their words, talking all at once? For them, this was exciting for them. This man that they had tried to stay away from for so long was now clothed, sitting at the feet of Jesus and in his right mind. And they were not just saying, oh, guess what, townsmen? Guess what happened? Here's my blessing today. Guess what happened? No, they were fumbling over each other. They couldn't wait to tell the story. I remember when our friend used to work, we used to have our offices here at the church. Ace and I were upstairs, and our staff was, she was in that office there. And oftentimes, many, many times, people would come and they would want prayer, and we would take them into the prayer room. And she was from a Baptist background. And so when the person had been delivered and set free, oftentimes there is a lot of yelling that goes along with it. Sometimes people throw up. A lot of different manifestations happen, and I'm cool with that. I just get the trash bin and get the Kleenex, you know. And so we would come out, and she would, her eyes wide open, she would say, this is so awesome, it's so exciting to be here. And so we'd fumble over each other and try to say what happened, and oh my gosh, because we wanted to train, we wanted her to know that it wasn't just about, well, let's protect that person's privacy, you know, it was just about, let me tell you what happened. And so we would be fumbling over each other, so excited that a person had been set free, and there was such amazing freedom that would come into someone's life. It was absolutely awesome. And so these herdsmen were reenacting the story. You know that guy? time. No, I don't think I know him. Oh, come on, you remember? He walked through town the other day. He was naked and screaming, and he smashed windows, and he was violent. Oh, yeah, yeah, I know him. And so there was this reenactment of this story by these herdsmen. And as the town came, goes and sees Jesus, and the town, when they hear this story, they get their sick. I know somebody else that's got a real problem with fear. And so they grab these people and their little girl who's been laying in bed sick. And they bring them. If Jesus can do that to this man, what can he do to our people of our town? And the crowd comes to Jesus. In my story, not their story. Unbelievable, in my opinion, what they do. Unbelievable. They come to Jesus. And they are so afraid. They are more afraid of what Jesus has just done than they are of the demon-possessed man. They did not rejoice at this man's deliverance. A man who was now clothed and in his right mind. There was no rejoicing. There was no, wow, this is awesome. Instead, there was total fear. It seemed that they cared more about their livelihood, that they cared more about their goods, their herds, than they did about this man's soul, or about anyone for that matter. Unbelievable. We sang today, I want more of you. I want more. I want more. I want more. That was not the song on these people's lips. The song on their lips was, would you just please leave? Like, that astounds me, that you see this man. How many of you know, kind of know people like this? That, oh, you won't admit it, but I know people like this, and I know people that are angry and violent, and I think, do you need deliverance, or do you need anger management course? Like, what is it? Because there are different ways. That's what discernment is about. And if and when that person got healed, I would be rejoicing with them, right? But not this town. They cared more about their pigs. And they actually beg Jesus to leave. And because Jesus operates on faith, scripture say he left. He got into the boat and he left. And I think sometimes by our attitudes and our actions, we sing, God, I want more of you, but do we really? Are we really willing and wanting Jesus to mess up our life to the place where I don't care about my livelihood? This is what your word says, so I'm going to do it. This is who you are, so I'm going to do these things. And anyway, they actually beg him to leave. Remember what verse or Matthew, Mark 16 says, these signs follow us. Miracles. A miracle is something that violates or transcends natural laws, but reveal God to the eye of faith. Let me tell you another account. All of these things I've told you are the absolute truth. I have a brother who is a believer, knows God, has invited him into his life, but many, many years ago, probably 20 years ago, no more than that. Wow, time is going. Probably 35 years ago now. We used to own a little house on Fairholt Road, and we bought that house when we first got saved. And you know what it's like with new Christians? We're just crazy, right? We just write scripture verses everywhere. And so we built this porch with a fruit cellar on cold cellar underneath it, and on that porch we put carved in cement a scripture verse: except the Lord build the house, he labors in vain that builds it. So that was the scripture. You would come up the step and you would look and you would see that scripture verse. And so one day my brother was in his house and was having a lot of I won't say issues, but he had some problems. And he, in his own words, when he was in his house, this demon confronted him in a in a form. And so my brother phoned my mom and said, you know, what should I do about it? And Rolly was, he was a Christian, but he wasn't really following the Lord at the time. And so mom said, well, you've got the name of Jesus, just take authority and tell that thing to go in Jesus' name. And so when he did that, it kind of backed him into a corner because his lifestyle was contrary to what the Word of God was. Now, I'm telling you this because, you know, in the book of Acts where the sons of Sceva and how these demons jumped on these people that were really exorcists, and they were trying to with magic incantations and other words, and the demons actually jumped on them, tore their clothes off, and kicked them out of the house and said, now wait a minute, we know the Apostle Paul and we know Jesus, but we don't know you. So if we're going to embark on things like this, we better make sure that the demons know our name. And so my brother got on his motorcycle and started to ride from Stinson Street over to our place on Fairhold, started to ride his motorcycle, and he said that that demonic force was beside him all the way, tried to push him off his motorcycle. And of course, he was absolutely terrified by this. And when he got to our house, he got off his motorcycle. This was one of the only times I ever left my front door open. I remember specifically that I went out and thought, I'm just going for groceries. I'm not going to bother locking the door. I left the door open, and he flew into our house. And when he came into our house, the demonic just stopped at the front door. And Rolly turned and looked at him and said, aren't you coming in here? And he said, no, I am not allowed in this house. Now, we had done more than put scripture. We had anointed our walls, our doors. We just went around and we gave our house to Jesus. And our house was filled with prayer and praise and the blood of Jesus, you know, because I knew about demonic forces and I know what can stand against them. And so we came home that day, came home from grocery shopping. I came into a really foul smell because oftentimes demonic forces do have a demonic sulfurous. It's not a movie. There is a stench to that realm. And so I looked at my brother sleeping on the couch now, peacefully sleeping. Ace came home for lunch and we're like, what's your brother doing here? And I'm like, I don't know, but he was sleeping on the couch. So I just kind of left him. And so he woke up when Ace got home and began to relate this story to us and said, you know, the demonic force could not come into this house. So I tell you that story for a couple of reasons, because I think you get the point of it. But it's important that we know where we stand with Jesus Christ. It's important that, yes, if the kingdom of God is in me and I'm following Christ and I have authority. But we read in scripture many, many places how, you know, like sometimes we say stupid devil, but the demonic forces aren't really stupid. They can be very clever and very manipulating. And I said I wasn't going to go into all this, so I'm not. But when we are empowered by Christ and we have the power of the Holy Spirit, we are given the name of Jesus. And when we know the power of the name of Jesus, we can have authority over these things, even in our own lives, even in our own lives. And I'm so thankful that the Word of God shows us that demonic powers shrink back in the name of Jesus. In fact, they are so fearful at the name. Scripture says they tremble, which is a shaking when they are confronted with the name of Jesus. Actually, that word tremble means to bristle, with the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. You ever had that? I've had that. I've had like a fear come on me and the hairs on my back. In fact, when I was a little girl, I had really short hair. My hair actually stood up straight at one time because of something my brother and sister scared me with. But I have forgiven them for that. And so that's what the name bristle or tremble means. And so even though demons may have intelligence to speak, they may have power and able to be put forth a superhuman strength, none of that helps them when they find themselves in the presence of a believer exercising the authority by faith in the name of Jesus. This prospect sends them back in shock. And again, I could go on and on and on with stories, true accounts of things that I've found in my own house, presence that is in my own house as a believer, and thinking, God, how did this happen? And the Lord directs me to maybe a book I've been reading that's an evil book, or that's why I don't watch horror movies or anything like that. I don't watch that because I've had experience in this area. And so the next time we find ourselves in the presence of evil, let's not shrink back in fear. Let's release our faith, amen, and take authority over the devil's strategies. Look at Brenda, what happened to you is really a picture of what I'm preaching this morning, because Brenda had someone come, as she shared, knock on her door on 4 a.m. yesterday morning, and she had to hold the door as they hollered, "Let me in, let me in," and she had to forcibly hold the door against them. And oftentimes, that's what you and I have to do against the enemy, is we have to hold the door against him. And it can be taxing and it can be exhausting. But when we take the name of Jesus and stand against some of these things that try to push and crowd into our life, Jesus doesn't push and crowd his way in, but the enemy does. And he comes in many, many different forms. And there are many ways. There was one lady when we first began our ministry in the church. She could not get free. She just couldn't get free. And so one day we were praying over her. We were at the altar and we were praying over her. And the Holy Spirit just said to me, tell her to take off. She had an ankle bracelet around her ankle. And the Holy Spirit said, tell her to take that off. So I said to her, What is that bracelet around? I'm not against ankle bracelets or jewelry, but hear the rest of the story. And she said, oh, that's something that my ex-husband, I think it was, and she was married now a couple of times, and that's something that my ex-husband gave me, and it's just it was like a soul tie that she had to this person. And I said, I believe the Holy Spirit wants you to take that off and never wear it again. In fact, you need to get rid of it. And of course, she's desperate. And so she takes this bracelet off and is almost instantly set free. And she continued to come to our church, continued to walk out things of the Spirit. And I saw her about a year and a half ago, and she's just this wonderful Christian person who is absolutely free. And so oftentimes, things in our lives that have attachment, soul ties. Yes, yes, yes. Sometimes things need to be gotten rid of. Some of our jewelry that is, I'm really going to mess me up. Like the yin-yang symbol. That's not God. That is a demonic force that the Chinese believe in. And so as we wear these things, as we wear different symbols on us, that good friends, I had a friend who gave a friend of mine a clock with all the horoscopes on it. And they just would not get rid of it. Yet they were so plagued with sickness and even mental sickness. And because often what we used to do was go into homes, and when people would struggle with things like that, and we'd anoint the place with oil, and we'd say, oh, the Holy Spirit's directing me here. Why do you have this here? What's this from? And oftentimes we would say, well, you need to get rid of that. You remember in the scripture, people brought these things and they actually burned them with fire. They didn't sell them or give them away because they were valuable. And I've had to do that with some of my valuable things. I'm not just going to sow this into somebody's life because there seems to be a demonic force attached to it. Are y'all all right with that? It is the truth. It is the truth. And so a few times there have been times when I've felt there was almost like a resistance to the presence of God. You know that when you come to a place, you feel degrees of the presence of the Lord. You can sense that His presence is there, and I sense that in our home. And so actually it was when Rebecca was still living at home, and of course I blame everything on the children. And I said, what have you been listening to? What music do you have in your room? You know, are you listening to this ungodly, demonic stuff? What books do you have? And she's like, Mom, it's not me. Do you realize that you have a boarder downstairs who is heavily involved in all the Stephen King murders and stuff like that? And she had piles and piles of books about Stephen King. And I thought, Lord, how do I deal with this? This is not my place of authority, is to go down and tell her she needs to get rid of her books. So you know what I did? I told you, I'm a little crazy. I laid on the floor over her apartment, and I put my hands out on that floor, and I just began to plead the blood of Jesus, and I began to sing and worship. I did that on a regular basis. I took authority over that spirit. You have no right in our home. I command you in the name of Jesus. And within a week, she came up and says, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to move. And I'm like, hallelujah. Because I didn't care about my livelihood. I didn't care about my rent. I cared about the presence of Jesus in my home. And we need to have discernment. We need to be aware of these things. We don't run in blindly and start casting demons out of this and that. We go carefully and we say, Jesus, what about this? Is this my sphere of authority? Because that's the other thing. What's my sphere of authority here? When I go to third world countries, I love it. Because I see them all over the place, and I just go after those things. I just love it. That part of me has not been taken out, that biker part, you know. And I just love to go after stuff like that. And they're so open to it because they have witch doctors that call themselves witch doctors. They have psychics. They have all these kinds of things going on. And all of those things leave an opening to the demonic realm. And Jesus is a gentleman, but the enemy is not a gentleman. Wherever there's a little bit, just a soul tie here. Well, I'm going to keep you attached to that person. You are never going to fully love your husband and be able to respond to him the way you should because part of your affections are tied over here. So you know what? I take that jewelry off and I break that tie in the name of Jesus. This man was now clothed and in his right mind. And sitting at the feet of Jesus, and this town wanted nothing to do with it. And so Jesus got in the boat and he left. A miracle occurred that turned the situation completely around. A normal part. This is normal Christianity. This is normal Christianity. So I have a slide up there that has a confession that I'm going to read it to you first because I don't want you confessing stuff that you really don't believe in. But it says this, and we'll read it together in a minute. I confess that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The devil is minor compared to the awesome power of Christ that dwells within me. When I speak the name of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, the spirit realm listens and obeys. I am in Christ and Christ is in me. And when I speak in Jesus' name against demonic powers, it is like Christ speaking through me. What a beautiful name, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name, the name of Jesus. He has no rival. He has no equal. What's the rest of it? Death could not hold you. Yes. What a powerful name you and I have been given. Not just our thoughts, but it's got to come out of our mouth in the name of Jesus. Learn to speak it often. Learn to say it over. How did I learn to lay hands on the sick and have them recover? I had a dog that was sick, ready to die. He was, every time I went to the bathroom, it was blood everywhere. So I laid my hands. Jesus said to me, where's the girl of faith that I used to have? I thought, oh, I can do this to dog? So I laid my hand on that dog, and he got healed, totally healed. The name of Jesus. So you practice on the little things. Say the name of Jesus. Just say the name. Say the name of Jesus. Bella's like, whoa. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. That's why when we sing these songs, we need to open our mouth and sing them, because deliverance is not going to come any other way. Lay your hands on yourself and speak deliverance. I've done that as well. I had a deliverance session here once, and when I got home, oh man, I was so happy. Some of the things resonated with me, and then all of a sudden I just found myself throwing up. I just threw up for no reason at all. And I thought, well, hallelujah, there goes another one. Right? We got to stop thinking, oh, I'm going to get in trouble now, that because I'm a Christian, I can't have a demon. You can have anything you want. And there needs to be this cleansing, not in your... We're body, soul, and spirit. And so the demonic forces can inhabit various realms. They might not inhabit the area where the Spirit of God inhabits. But if I haven't given Jesus my soul, my emotions, if I haven't given him my body, those things can inhabit those places. Or they can just be an oppression that keeps coming and coming and coming. It's like a piece of clothing I wear. I cannot shake this thing. And say the name of Jesus. Ask Jesus to identify it to you. Oh, I could go on and on, because this, besides tithes and offerings, is my passion. Because giving of your money will set you free. Not just financially, it sets you free. Taking authority over these things sets us free. And I love to see people set free. It's my passion. I love to see it set free. So let's stand together. There's a confession on there, Rebecca. The last slide it should be. Is it there?
What a beautiful name it is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There we go.
All right, let's read it together out loud with our voices. I confess that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The devil is minor compared to the awesome power of Christ that indwells me. When I speak the name of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, the spirit realm listens and obeys. I am in Christ, and Christ is in me. When I speak in Jesus' name against demon powers, it's like Christ speaking through me. Father, we thank you this morning for your awesome presence in this place. We thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you've given us his all-powerful name, because he is the Son of God. Father, we pray that as we maybe regurgitate some of these things that I've spoken about this morning, that there will be an enlightenment from your scriptures and from your Holy Spirit. Father, where there would be things in our lives in the area of the demonic, that you would show us, that you would give us your wisdom, give us your power, help us not to fear, but to hold the door against these things that try to prevail against us. And Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen.